Okay, we start here at the bottom of Yud Ben Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, a mafrish pigeon peter chamor umet. He already took off the seh to redeem the peter chamor, and then it dies. Rabbi Elazar omer chayavim b'achrayoto. You got to replace it. Similar to the 5 sela that you pay for pigeon ben, just like there, if it doesn't reach the hand of the kohen, you haven't discharged your obligation. So to over here, if the seh does not reach the hand of the kohen, you're responsible for it. Chamim omrim, which we've seen in the Gemara already, ein chayavim b'achrayoto, you're not responsible for it. Pidyon maser sheni, like when you redeem maser sheni, if the money gets lost, you're under no obligation to replace it. You have moved the kedusha from the peirot that had maser sheni. The money, wherever it is, really belongs to hekdesh. And that's what we've said before, that no matter where it is, it's kibbe gazel, the hekdesh. It's as if the treasury took a hold of it, no matter where it was. Here too, the kohen took a hold of it, wherever it was. It's heid rabbi shuv rabbi tzadok l'pidyon peter chamor. Shemait, they have edut about a redemption of Petach Hamor that dies in the Kohen Kulum. That the Kohen is nothing like the Chachamim. Now this will have implications as well for the next part of the Mishnah, which is, Mait Petach Hamor, the Petach Hamor itself dies, Vazomer Yikaver, Umutar Behanato, Sheltulet. Then you bury it, because according to Rabbi Elazar, you have not removed the Isur Hana'ah until the Seh has reached the hand of the Kohen. So over here, where the seh has yet to reach the hand of the kohen, peter chamor dies, it's asur banah, you gotta bury it. The tleh, the seh itself, you get to keep, because it didn't do anything, you haven't gotten it to the hand of the kohen. Whereas the chachamim omrim, ain't tzarich likaver. The peter chamor is no longer asur banah, because you already removed the quote-unquote isur from it with the tleh, and the tleh is the kohen. Wherever the tleh exists, it's in the hand of the kohen, and therefore the kohen will get it, even after the death of the peter chamor. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer. Once Rabbi Eliezer shito, dichtiv, it says in the Pasuk in Korach, ach badotiv deh, and over there there's a hekesh between Bechor Adam and Bechor Behemat Meah. Ma Bechor Adam chaya be'achariyoto, a Bechor Behemat Meah chaya be'achariyoto. That the same will be applicable, just like by Pidgin of Ben, you gotta get it to the hand of the Kohen. So too by Behemat Meah, you have to get it to the hand of the Kohen. I'm Rabbi Abai. Ima b'chor adam mutar b'hana'ah. B'chor adam, there's no iser hana'ah. Person, the individual, even if they were not nivdeit, there's no iser anosos with them. Af b'chor b'emat me'ah mutar. Then a b'chor b'emat me'ah should have that same status that it's mutar b'hana'ah. Chitei ma'achanami, so what are you going to say? Okay, yeah, why not? That's true. Ba'atnan, we have a Mishnah. Meit peter chamor, our Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar omer yikaver. Why do you have to bury the peter chamor if there's no iser hana'ah associated with the peter chamor? Ma'yikaver. Why do you have to bury it? La'av di isur hana'ah. Isn't the reason that you have to bury it because there's an isur hana'ah associated with it? Lo. Ikaver ki b'chor adam. It's buried like a b'chor adam, like every adam is buried. So, just like the b'chor adam would be buried if it died, so too, the peter chamor gets buried when it dies. It has nothing to do with the isur hana'ah. Strange, but the Gemara is going to knock this down in 1 second. Ella. Adam b'chor hu d'bai gvura pashut lo bai gvura. This is something unique to b'chor Adam that gets burial. No other human being gets burial. A regular human being doesn't get burial. So it's nothing unique to a b'chor Adam. V'o tanyo. We have a specific bright that says, Modi Rabbi Elazar b'Israel, sheesh lo safek peter chamor. Israel that has a safek peter chamor, our previous Mishnah, toch v'do shemafrish t'lai lavu shalo. Takes that t'lai and he keeps it. The fact that he has to be mafrish at tleh indicates there's some isur associated with the chamor. If there was no isur associated with the chamor, you wouldn't have to be mafrish at tleh. So there it's clear that Rabbi Elazar holds there isur and isur ano. So that cannot be the explanation of Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rather, El Amar Rovo. Rovo suggests over here, Amar Kra, Ach Pado Tifdeh Lepti'ah Hikashtiv. Below the davar acher, the hekesh between Bechor Adam and Bechor Behemat Meah revolves around p'tiyah, a redemption, because that's where in the pasuk it's found. It's in the found in the pasuk of redeeming, and therefore the hekesh only exists for redeeming, and that will solve our problem now, because then the hekesh only applies to redeeming and achrayut of getting the money to the hand of the kohen, but it doesn't apply to this issue of iser hana. Ritznan over here, there's no. If you look below, the Masorah Desha says Mishnah lo matzati. That there is no Mishnah like this. He says the case of Mishnah has it written as Vitanyo. So it's most likely it's a braita that's found Vitanyo. Herachin b'sha'atan pidyon ben achar shloshim yom pidyon peter chamor la altar. Pidyon ben is done after 30 days. Pidyon peter chamor is done immediately, and herachin are done b'sha'atan. Whenever you take the neder herachin, you use the age of the individual who you specify to determine the erech based on the tables in the Torah. It's the age at the time of the neder, not the age at the time that you pay. So if they were 5 when you took the nether, and then there's six when you pay. You pay based on the 1 month to five category, not the 5 to 20 category. So then the Gemara says, "Pidyon petach chamor la'alter." What does that mean? Pidyon petach chamor. You must do it immediately. For a minute, ein berachin upidyon aben ubnizirot to petach chamor pachot mishloshim. All of these items require a minimum of 30 days. Erechin. There is no such thing as an erech of an individual under the age of 30 days. Pidyon aben is done after 30 days. Nizirut. Stam nizirut. The minimum nizirut is 30 days. Petar chamor, 30 days. Now you just said to me, petar chamor la'altar. Now you're saying 30 days. Umusufim adolam. And you can go up. Meaning that's a lower limit. It's a minimum. But above that, you can move up. Neder nizirut. You can take for as many days or as many years as you want. Pidyon aben. If you don't do it in the first 30 days, you can continue to do it until the person's niftar. Erechin. There are prices for everybody after a month and up. Forever. You have prices on people. So the same thing. So what's going on over here? How do we resolve this? Amar Rav Nachman Lomar, She'im Pado'o Padoi. So Rav Nachman gives the first resolution of the stira in these two brightot, and he says that if you do it within 30 days, it works. The altar means if you do it, it works. 30 days is the optimum. You should wait 30 days and then redeem it, but if you want to do it before, if you do it before, b'di'evet, it's yotze. So Michlal, the inference from that is, Dibino in Pado'o Eino Padoi. The inference is that it only works by Petar Chamor, because that's the place it says Alter. The Breiter says in the other one that Pidyon HaBen is 30 days no matter what. That means both the Chatzila and B'di'evet, a Pidyon HaBen is 30 days. Is that really true? V'hai Yitmar. Don't we have the statement of Rav HaBodet, B'no B'toch Shloshim Yom, Rav Amar B'no Padui. It does work. So if it works, what are you saying here? That this is only the Chatzila, B'di'evet for Petar Chamor? The same thing applies to Bechor Adam. Where it says, La B'tmar Allah, we already have a statement on this by Rav Amar Rav, the Kuliyama Mi'akshav Ein Benoi Padui. Everybody agrees if he hands in the money and says from now it's padui, it doesn't work. It's only if he hands in the money and says after the 30-day period expires, then he's nifdeit, that's the machloket over there, whether it works or not, then Rav says it does work. But everybody agrees immediately it doesn't work, and that would be the difference. Petar chamor, you can be podeh immediately, and it will work, b'di'evet. The chatkila, you should still wait the 30 days. Whereas by Bidyon HaBen, you have to wait the 30 days. There's no question. Within 30 days, it does not work. Unless you did a pidyon where the execution of the pidyon only happens after the 30-day period. So that's the one solution, or the resolving of the two braito. That's Rav Nachman. Of Sheshet Amar, Lomar She'enu Over Alav, that you're not over. Meaning that you can wait to the 30-day period. And even if you wait to the 30-day period, you're not in violation of not redeeming the Petar Chamor. You should do it immediately. But if you don't do it immediately, up until the 30-day point, you're not in violation of any mitzvah to say to be podeh the Petar Chamor. Mitzvato kol shloshim yom. The mitzvah is all 30 days. Mikan v'elech o podehu or full. After that point in time, either there's a pidyon or an orif. So my love, what does it sound from there? Mitzvato l'shehato kol shloshim yom. What does it mean, 30 days? And then from then on, you do the act of di'ah or arifah. What's the point of those 30 days? It sounds like you wait the 30 days, and then you do it. So he says, lo, mitzvah l'vodoto kol shloshim yom. It's a mitzvah to be redeemed all those 30 days. Yehochi mikan ve'elech. Then what's the mikan ve'elech? If you're doing it for the first 30 days, why do you have to tell me after the 30 days it works? Yehochi, if that's the case, then you'd say the first 30 days is the proper, appropriate time for redeeming it. Mikan ve'elech, from beyond the 30 days, it should be opodeo, do your redemption over alav, or you're in violation of the assay. And then you've hit the restriction point. You've reached the point where your time's up. So that's what it should say. Why does it give you the choice to do p'diyah and arifah at that point in time? Sounds like that's the start of the mitzvah. Say, Elo Marova. So now Rava offers an alternative lokasha. Ha, the Rabbi Elezer, the Makshe, ha, the Rabbanan, the Lo Makshe. It's the difference between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbanan. Rabbi Elezer, who has the hekesh between Bechor Adam and Bechor Behemat Me'ah, he also has this 30-day restriction. Just like Bechor Adam, you do not redeem it until after 30 days. So too, Bechor Behemat Me'ah, you only redeem it after 30 days. The Rabbanan, who say there is no connection to Bechor Adam, and therefore you have no achrayut in terms of the tzleh reaching the hand of the Kohen, so too there is no din of 30 days. No din of 30 days, you should redeem it, the altar. The difference in the authorship of the braito, one will be the Rabbanan, one will be Rabbi Elezer, and you do not have to reconcile between them. They're two independent opinions, and therefore each braito stands alone based on the opinion of the Rabbanan, based on the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And what's interesting is in Rav Sheshet, its opinion. Rav Sheshet says that the chatchila you should do within the 30-day period. After 30 days, then it's problematic. The Gemara rejected it because of the Lashon HaBraita. But it's interesting, once Rav Sheshet does that, where do we come up with a 30-day period? According to Rav Nachman's solution, according to Rava's solution, the 30-day period comes from before Behemat Tmeah. And, I'm sorry, it comes from Bechor Adam. Since it comes from Bechor Adam tells us 30 days is the Chatkila threshold. So according to Rav, that's the only threshold. That's where Rabbi Elazar holds. According to Rav Nachman, that's the Chatkila Vidya, but you can do it before the Chatkila is 30 days. But I know where you get it from. According to Rav Sheshet, who says the Chatkila, you should do it before 30 days, then he doesn't have the Hekesh. It's clear he doesn't have the Hekesh, otherwise he would have ended up with the 30-day period. So he doesn't have the Hekesh, how does he find 30 days? Where does the number 30 days come from? We understand if you have the Bechor Ben Adam, the connection there, but without it, how do you come up to 30 days? That's what the Shita Megubetz over there says, it's Tzarech Iyun. Came in the mitzvah of the Oto, the altar, Amo lo yofliv klal mi pidyon ben. He's not learning how to pidyon ben. Im kain, minole, the lamet. Yom. Where does he get the 30-day period? So v'tzarech lamo mi derabonon ma'alma. That's just a din derabonon ma'alma. But you lose that connection between the Bechor Adam, which would have told you about the 30-day period. Just interesting to note about the Shita of Rav Sheshet, even though the Gemara has other issues with the Shita of Rav Sheshet. Okay, Mishnah, that finishes off the parak here. Lo ratza liftoto, if he does not want to do the p'tiyah, then orfo. Me'achorav v'kovro. He has to break his neck with the kupitz from behind the neck, and he buries it. Mitzvah p'tiyah kodemet the mitzvah arifa. So this we discussed in the introduction that the Torah, in specifying the fact that it says v'im lo tifdeh v'arafto, if you do not redeem it, then you do the arifa, that's an indication that the preference is for you to do p'tiyah. It's only secondary that we want you to do the arifa. So therefore, the Mishnah makes that statement, that if you don't do the p'tiyah, then only then do you do the arifa. But we want you to really do the p'tiyah first. That's based on the Lashon HaPasuk, Lo Tifteh V'Rafto. Mitzvah Yida, Kodemet L'Mitzvat HaPdiyah. So this comes to a Ama Ivriyah. It comes to an Ama Ivriyah that was sold to an Adon. The Adon has three options with regards to this Ama Ivriyah. And over there, one of the options is Yida. Yida is to make her into a wife either for himself or for his son. He can use the Kesef that purchased her originally as Kesef Kedushim. Actually, truth be, it's a machlok over there, whether it's the original money or the fact that she's mochel on her ability to go free now that creates the Kedushin. But either way, there is the Yida, this option to marry her, Kodemet L'Mitzvat P'Yidiyah, comes before the option for her to redeem herself, to free herself, Shenemar, because the Pasuk again gives an order, Asher Lo Yada V'Hevda. If she doesn't, if you don't do Yida with her, if you don't do this Kiddushin with her, then Ve'evda, she should be redeemed, she should be allowed to go free. Now again, there are two different ways. One is she can buy her way out, the other way is that if she comes of age, she's also free. But over here, the option that we prefer for you is to marry this girl. Again, next one, Mitzvah Ta'ibum, Kodemet, the Mitzvah Chalitza. We prefer that you perform Yibum. Chalitza is the Bidyevit situation. We prefer you perform Yibum. Only if you don't perform Yibum do you do Chalitza. But that's only Barishona. That was in the old, good old days. Shayu mitkavim l'shem mitzvah. When they did l'shem mitzvah, v'achshav, shem mitkavim l'shem mitzvah. Today, where they don't do it l'shem mitzvah, this is discussed in the Gemara and Yevamot extensively. Amru mitzvah chalitza kodemet mitzvah yibum. Then we give preference to chalitza to yibum. That's not because of the pasuk. That's because of Chazal telling us that once people weren't acting appropriately in this area of yibum, then we get preference to chalitza in order to avoid, because it's almost pgiat be'ervat eshet achiv. It's a problem of possibly being pogay in erva if you don't do it for the proper intent, for the proper reasons. Next, hagula ba'don hu kodem lechol adam. When it comes to redemption in hekdesh, we give preference to the original owner over any other party. Over here, it's a case where he's makdish his beima, he's makpis beima for its value, and now he wants to come and exchange it. We give preference to the master, the owner of the item, before anyone else, shenemar, because it says, im lo yigael, v'nim kar be'erkecha. If you do not redeem it, then it will be sold for its monetary value, for the benefit of hekdesh. That's the monetization of it for hekdesh. So here it says, again, the pasuk, im lo yigael, meaning that the adon gets preference. Tzvi asked this on Friday, and I said the reason is, that's the reason that the Gemara gives an Erechin, is actually we give preference to the Adon, not because of the Pasuk, but rather because the Adon pays an additional Komesh on top. An Adon who redeems it pays an extra fifth over the value, whereas anybody else pays the flat value of the object. So we give preference because we get more money if the Adon redeems it. So as Tosfo points out, the Gemara and Erechin asks the question, discusses this, we'll get up to an Erechin very shortly. Why do you need both reasons? Why do you need the reason of the Baalim versus over here, but there are ways, for instance, in an auction where the person, other person's willing to pay more than the Baalim. We still give preference to the Baalim if their Chomesh exceeds the value of what the other person is willing to pay, or we force the Baalim to pay up more so that we get above it. So there's a whole sugya there in Erechin about the auctioning of an item between the owners and another person bidding on it. Who do we give preference to, and how does the Chomesh play in? So that's the Gemara in Erechin. Over here, the Gemara uses, or the Mishnah uses, the Pasuk as the reason for the preference. All right, now we're going to begin the second parak. As we already discussed in the introduction here, the first parak deals with Petach Hamor. The second parak deals with Bechor Behema Tehora. There we dealt with Bechor Behema Tmeya. And the Gemara will ask the question right away, why? What was the order? Why did they switch the order and put Behema Tmeya first and then Bechor Behema Tehora afterwards? Doesn't make so much sense. You're going to have a Mishnah now that's identical to the first Mishnah, except that it's dealing with Behema Tehora versus Behema Tmeya. Just a lokeach ubar paroto shoved kuchavim. Someone purchases the fetus of a para here we're talking about Behema Tehora, of the oved kuchavim. Or someone sells him the fetus, even though you're not allowed to contract, you're not allowed to conduct transactions with behema, gasa, behemoth in general. We discussed that again in the first parak, the deal with the issues of Shabbat, and there's a gzeira atus chira on Shabbat. Even though if you're in Rashai, nevertheless, you're patur from Bechorah, we'll see in a second. If you're in a partnership with a goy, vehar mikabel mimenu. If you accept it from him, meaning it's his animal, you feed, take care of the animal in order to split the vladot, the offspring, or benotenlo bekabalah. The same thing, the other way around. You gave it to them, the animal, it's your animal, but you'll split the offspring. Patur min abechora. All these cases, you patur min abechora, similar to what we had in the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Shinemar. Because it says, b'Yisrael v'lo b'echarim. The application of Bechor only applies to a Jew, not to anyone else. And just like that partnership helped you by Petach Hamor to get rid of the chiyuv of Bechor, so to over here, the partnership or the hand of the Nachri being there in the Emtza will remove the chiyuv of the Bechorah. Now what's different here, and we discussed this in the first paragraph, is HaKohanim V'Alevim Chayavim. As opposed to by Bechor Behemat Me'ah, we said the Kohanim V'Alevim are Turim. They are Patur because of the Hekesh we just saw a couple minutes ago. It's a Hekesh between Bechor Behemat Me'ah and Pijon Bechor Hadam. So just like Levi'im and Kohanim are Paturim from Bechor Adam, Jonah Ben, so too they're Paturim from Pijon Peter Chomor. That's not true by Behema Teora. By Behema Teora, Levi'im and Kohanim are equally Chayavim in the mitzvah. Shlo Nifteru Mibchor Behema Teora, Elo Pijon Ben and Peter Chomor. They're only Patur from Pijon Ben and Peter Chomor because of the Hekesh. And we learned the reason for that in the first parak. The reason by Behema Torah, again, the reason that they are Chayavim is because it's not a gift to the Kohen. It has Kedushat HaGuf. It belongs to the Mizbeach. Why should they be Peturim? They are equally Chayavim in bringing it to the Mizbeach. Now, who are the beneficiaries? They could eat it then. Kohanim could take the Bechor Behema, put on the Mizbeach, and then they'll get whatever is eaten by a Kohen. But nevertheless, they still have to get it to the Mizbeach. They owe the part to Hashem. Whereas when a regular person will have to give it to the Kohen, a Kohen will put it on the Mizbeach, and then he'll keep the remainder. Obviously, if it's a Balmum, then it is Mamona Kohen in that case. My area, Tani Ubar Chamro Bereisha, Vadar Tani Ubar Parato. That's what we just said before. Why does the Masechta begin with talking about Bechor Behema Tmeya, and then only move over to Behema Teora now? Litnei Bereisha, Ubar Parato. You should have started out with Behema Torah. Why? First of all, the Kedusha Dugufu. Vahadar Litnei Ubar Chamro, the Kedusha Tamimu. It's pretty straightforward. Bechor Behema Torah is a Kedushat HaGuf that can end up on the Mizbeach. It's a higher level of a Kedusha. It is more of a focus. I mean, every Bechor Behema Torah is Chayav in Bechor Behema Torah. That's not true by Petach Hamor. It's only the Chamor. It's not all Bechor Behema Tomeot. So why is it that we give preference to Bechor Behema Tomeot before the others? So I'm Rabbi Marovo. They say in Eretz Yisrael, Iba Itema, one reason is, I did the Chaviv like Rabbi Chanina. Because the Petach Hamor is unique and special like Rabbi Chanina. We saw Rabbi Chanina in the previous parak on Daf Yud Aleph. Why is it that Petach Hamor is Chayav and not Petach Susim Igmalim? The answer given was because in the Chav Kol Echad Mi'Israel, every Jew that left Mitzrayim had a Chamor that helped them carry their loads out of Mitzrayim. Since it's a unique status of the Chamor because of the help that it granted Bnei Israel when they were leaving Mitzrayim, that's Chaviva. Since it's Chaviva, they put it first. That's one answer. when it comes to Behema Tmea, there's one parak about it, the first parak. Behema Torah, the Petra Behema Torah, takes up the next five parakim. So they dealt with a small category, something that was contained. They did that first. Pasik, they gave us the locha and let it go. Now we're going to get into the big topic. So they got rid of the little one first, like an appetizer, and now they moved on to the main meal. And that's the other reason why, for the order in the parakim. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Hoshea. This is going to take up most of our time today, this statement, which is Yisrael. Shenatan ma'ot lo'ovei kochavim bibehemto bidinehem. Somebody gives money to an ovei kochavim bidinehem, avo pish lo mashach, even though you did not do a kinyan mishicha, kana. There is a kinyan here, v'chayevet bibechora, and therefore your chayevim bechora is now yours. Ve'ovei kochavim, and the other way around, shenatan ma'ot Yisrael bibehemto bidinehem. He purchased the behema in their dinim, avo pish lo mashach, even though there was no kinyan mishicha over here, kana. There is a kinyan upatur mina bechora, and there is no din bechora. So what they're saying is, if there's a transaction between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the transaction is done, what seems to be here, through money, the money is enough of a force of kinyan to say that the possession has changed, the ownership has changed, and then you'll either be chayav or patur b'chora, depending on whose ownership it is. What the Gemara also seems to say is that mishicha will not work, bidinehem, when you're dealing with their dinim. So now the Gemara says, my bidinehem. What does that mean? Dinehem. Amar Mar. Yisrael shenatan ma'ot ovei kochavim bidinehem, af pi shelo mashach, kana b'chayevet b'chora. So it repeats the first line of the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. Now, the Gemara wants to know, mad bidinehem. What does it mean in their laws? So if you want to say, inehem bidinehem, what does it mean in their laws, the gufe? It means, in the kinyan of a guf, of a goy, the ati b'kav v'chomer, that it should come b'kav v'chomer. Im gufe kani le Yisrael b'kesef, if you could purchase the physical body of the akum through money, because we know the dinim by an Eved Kanani, the ktiv, a reshet achuzah. About the Eved Kanani, it says that you treat him like property. What does that mean, you treat him like property? Well, first of all, he's passed as an inheritance. The second thing is, he kishoa katuv l'achuzah, ma'achuzah, just like property can be acquired b'kesef, u'b'shtar, u'b'chazakah. So too over here, af Eved Kanani nikne b'kesef, so too a Eved Kanani can be acquired with kesef. So mamono lo kol shekein, if that's the case, then certainly his possessions you could acquire through money. If you can acquire his body, his physical body through money, you should also be able to acquire his possessions. What happened to shtar and chazakah? So im kein, afilu b'shtar b'chazakah na'ami. Just like by an Eved Kanani, you can use your star and chazakah, so too by Mamono, you should be able to use star and chazakah. And we know that doesn't work. Vote, if you want to say that, Yisrael Yisrael Yochichu. And we have a proof that this doesn't work. Because Jews who interact, Degufei Kani Lebi Kesef, you can purchase an Eved Ivri through money, Mamono B'Mishicha. Yet, when you deal with his possessions, the only Kinyan that works is a Kinyan Mishicha. So you see, the two are not correlated. Just because you can kone his guf through kesef, doesn't mean you can mikone his possessions through kesef. It might be that the two are independent. El Amar Abaye suggested this is the answer. Binye dinehem, shepaska lehem Torah. This is the din that the Torah gives them. O kana miyada mitecha. This is talking about mitaltalim. And mitaltalim are the things that you're kone miyadiyad. Things that you protest back and forth. Miyad amitecha hu d'mishicha. Kinyan mishicha only works with amitecha, with your brethren, with another Yisrael. The implications of the pasuk are that mishicha is limited to amitecha, to another Jew. But if you're dealing with a non-Jew, then the kinyan will be kesef and not mishicha. So let's suggest this way. Maybe you can only have a kinyan through a Yisrael. With a non-Jew, when you say it's excluded from the pasuk, what does it mean it's excluded? Does that mean that there is no kinyan whatsoever? Or is there another kinyan? We suggest that at first it means there's another kinyan, they can use kinyan kesef. The Gemara says, why don't you just suggest that there is no kinyan with them on? You cannot transact with them. You can't say that, because kal v'chomer hu, im gufo koneh, emunog lo koshkin, if you can purchase his physical body, can't you purchase his possessions? It doesn't make sense that there'll be no way to transact with this possession if you can transact in him himself. You can need mishicha and kesef. Amrei v'lav kal v'chomer hu. Why would you ever suggest that? Gufo b'achat, mumano b'shayim. You can mikone his body with just kesef, but his possessions you need mishicha and kesef. That's not logical. Zveima. So let's say this. Obaha, obaha. But what about either one? Meaning that for a Jew you have to use a kinyan mishicha, but a goy you can use either mishicha or kesef. So it says, just like by Israel, you only have one option. The option is Mishicha. So too, that's the Hekesh to Amitecha, meaning the opposite sense of Hekesh, which is that if they're excluded, then you can only use one by them. The only one you can use then is kesef. So that explains to us, according to Abaye, why you have to use a kinyan kesef, or why kinyan kesef works. Not bidinahem doesn't mean using their laws, but it means using the din of an Ovid Kochavim. The din of an Ovid Kochavim is that kinyan has to be done through kesef. So that's number one part of that statement that we have from Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni. Now the Gemara goes to the second part of that statement. Amar Mar, Ovid Kochavim, Shinatan Ma'ot Li Yisrael Bibemto, Bidinehen, Afu Bishlo Mashach, Kana, Upatur Mina Bechora, Ma Bidinehem. What does that again mean, Bidinehem? Ilay Ma Bidinehem de Gufe, it's talking about the din of Guf. Again, we're going to do the same type of kavachomer. Im gufo di Israel konile bekesef. If a non-Jew, an akum, comes to purchase an eved ivri, he's kone his guf bekesef. Diftev mikesef miknato. That the monies that were paid in order to create the kinyan. So the monies that were paid to create the kinyan, this is a akum that purchased an eved ivri, a Jew. If that's the case, if you can purchase the body of an Eved Ivri through Kesef, then certainly should be able to purchase the possessions of a Jew through Kesef. So it says, Yisrael Misrael Yochicho, we'll have the same slug up again, breaking up this Kal V'chomer, to Gufo Kani, by Yisrael, that transacts with another Yisrael, that you can purchase an Eved Ivri through Kesef. Mamono b'mishicha, yet the mamon has to be done through Kini Mishicha. There is no Kal V'chomer. El Amar Abaye, Bidinehem Shepaskalem Torah, again. This idea that the Torah gave a class, Vechitim Kru Memkar Lamitecha, if you sell something to your Amitecha, Lamitecha B'mishicha, when you sell it to your friend, that's B'mishicha. Halovi Kochavim B'kesef. By Novi Kochavim, it's only by money. So again, the same exclusion. The din of Mishicha is limited by the Torah to Amitecha, both when it says Likinyan, when you purchase from them, as well as when you sell to them. It says Amitecha in both instances, since it says in both instances, O Kanami Amitecha, O Kintim Kuru Memkar Amitecha, buying and selling are limited Amitecha, then Amitecha Mishicha, only a Jew has that limitation of Mishicha, whereas a non-Jew, it does it through Kesef. So Amitecha Mishicha, Lubi Kochavim Be Kesef, Eman Lubi Kochavim Klal Klal Lo. So ask the same question again. Maybe the Kochavim is out of the Parsha totally. Samri Lav Kal Vachomru, Im Kuvokana, Mamano Lo Koshigain. What do you mean he's out of the Parsha? He can buy the Eved Ivri, he can buy his body, he certainly can buy his possessions. So Ema Lovi Kuchlim Adika Tarte. Again, let's suggest for the Ovi Kuchlim needs both in order to purchase. He'll need both the Meshicha and Kesef. So Gemara says, Lav Kavachomu again, Gufo Be'achad Mumano B'shtayim. He can purchase the Eved Ivri with just Kesef. Now he's going to have to purchase his possessions with Kesef and Meshicha. Doesn't make sense. Ve'ema Obaha Baha. Again, let's say maybe the option is he can either do it Meshicha or Kesef. So Dumiya Damitecha, again that same hekesh to Amitecha, which is just like Amitecha Bechado, just like by Amitecha you only use one, which is Mishicha, Avodi Kochavim, Nami Ba'achat. So too, when it comes to Ovid Kochavim, you can only use one. One is Kesef. So that means the din of an Ovid Kochavim is Bekesef. The Kinyan, both in terms of purchasing and selling possessions, the only way that they can transact is with Kesef. Now what's interesting over here, there's an important Rabbeinu Tam on the bottom Tosfot on the previous Amud. He says over here, Im Gufokani, if the goof of an Eved Ivri is niknate ayyidei kesef by the non-Jew, by the akum, then kal v'chomer l'mamono. Now over here, the Gemara does not use kesef shtar and chazaka. Before, when you were purchasing the goof of an Eved Kenani, it says it's like an achuzah. Just like achuzah, like property, you can buy the kesef shtar v'chazaka, so too you can buy the Eved Kenani because of shtar v'chazaka. Over here, it does not say that. By the purchase of an Eved Ivri, it only says kesef. It doesn't mention shtar v'chazaka. So based on that, midlo pari hocha im kein afilu b'shtar v'chazaka. The Gemara doesn't ask the question like it did in the previous set and say, what about shtar v'chazaka? This is a proof to the Rabbeinu Tam that kol kinyanot tovi kochavim be'Eved Ivri be'kesef. The only way for an akum to buy an Eved Ivri is through kesef. Shtar and chazaka do not work as an alternative. And he brings the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that Eved Ivri am nimkad ovi kachim shekol kinyano bikesef. When it means kol kinyano bikesef means that's the only kinyan that he has. It's the only way he can do it. Rashi gives a slightly indifferent interpretation over there. Then the Tosfot discusses other places. There seems to be other places in Shas where chazaka does work in terms of binkone and Eved Ivri. And then Tosfot makes a distinction here. It's a very interesting distinction. He says, depends. That when you're in war, yesh lomar, hay v'chazaka k'sheish milchamahu. That when there's a war, chazaka works. If they take captives in the war, then they have a kinyan chazaka on the captives. V'adin mimono. And that'll also work on the mamon. So that's true when we're talking about war. But when you're talking about regular times, regular transactions, over there chazaka doesn't work. So chazaka will be a unique type of acquisition that comes through war, and that will be the same with taking up possessions. That's not true of everyday interactions with them, then only kesef will work as a kinyan. So now the Gemara continues. So Amri, it's clear. We have another opinion. So far we've determined we have everything fine because kinyan over chavim is going to be kesef. Kinyan amitach is mishicha. Problem is that there's another de'ah, a meimar, who says that the kinyan for novi kochavim is b'mishicha. Well, if that's the case, how does he deal with what we just said? We said there, kona miyad amitecha, that if you have a transaction b'amitecha, that's mishicha, and then the rest, the novi kochavim is b'kesef. So we say, according to a meimar, it must be, hanicha yisavar lak Rabbi Yochanan. That works well if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Damar, devar Torah ma'ot konot. Machloket Veshlokish and Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Boba Metziah as to what is the primary form of Kinyan for a Israel. This is between Jews. What's the primary form of Kinyan? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the primary form of Kinyan is Kesef. That's the way the Torah prescribes for Kinyanim. Mishicha is an addition to Rabbanon. It's a takanah de Rabbanan to protect against certain circumstances where the buyer would lose out. But Mina Torah, money is the ultimate transaction, the ultimate kinyan for two Jews to transact. Aval, so therefore, devar ma'ot Torah ma'ot konot, mishicha, therefore, lo kanyo. Ahani lamitecha. Amitecha says the transaction between Jews is lamitecha bekesef. Jews transact with money. Lo bikuchavim, lo bikuchavim, the kinyan will be mishicha. So he used the same amitecha to tell you amitecha is through kesef. The Obi Kochavim is through Mishicha. So you can have an exclusion because Obi Kochavim and the Jew have a different din. So you just switch around, you'll flip it around and say that now the din of Amitecha is Kesef, that means the din of Obi Kochavim is Mishicha. He can work well according to Rabbi Yochanan. If he holds like Reish Lakish, Damar Mishicha Mifureshet Min HaTorah, that Mishicha is Okana Miyamitecha, teaches you that a Kinyan Mishicha is the appropriate Kinyan. So the Amitecha Mishicha, how are you going to explain that pasuk now? You have Amitecha being Jews have to do Mishicha, and according to Meimar, Obi Kochavim also has to do Mishicha. There's no exclusion, there's no difference between them. Gemara says, no, Lamitecha, Lamali, what do I need that for then? So Amrei, Lamitecha, Ata Makzir Ona'a, V'yata Makzir Ona'a L'Kanani. That has to do with the din of Ona'a, which is the other part of that pasuk. The other part of the pasuk is you're not allowed to overcharge your friend. So when it comes to Ona'a, this overcharging, by a Jew, you will have to return it. By a non-Jew, you will not have to return that overcharging. And that's what the miut of Amitecha is. So that's the Iyata Magzir Ona L'Kanani. So the Gemara says, we know that already. L'Kanani, it says, Ami Al Tono Ish Et Achiv. There it's specific. It says, Ish Et Achiv. The din of Ona'a only applies to Ish Et Achiv, between two Jews, Nafka. So Gemara says, Chad B'Knani, V'Chad B'Ekdesh. I need both psukim. One to teach me there's no Ona'a by Knani, and the other one to teach me there's no Ona'a by Ekdesh. Tzrichi, Dikha, Tav Rahman Achad, Av Amin Al-Knani, Udein Lo Ona'a. Aval Hekdesh, there's Lo Ona'a. I would have thought maybe the Knani doesn't have Ona'a, but Hekdesh, there should be a Din of Ona'a. Kamashwan, the Din of Ona'a doesn't apply to Hekdesh, and it doesn't apply to a Ovid Kuchavim. So they're both excluded from the Parsha of Ona'a. So based on what we have right now, we have a statement from a Meimar that disagrees with what we saw by Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani says that the proper kinyan for an Ovid Kochavim is Kesef. A Meimar says the proper kinyan with an Ovid Kochavim is Mishicha. So now we have to deal with, okay, how does that interact with the Pasuk Amitecha? So we saw with regards to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, that meant that Amitecha, Jews interact with Mishicha, you interact with another Israel with Mishicha, you interact with a non-Jew in Akum with Kesef. And that was the explanation of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani's statement. Now a Meimar comes along and says, no, that the Kinyan, when you're interacting with a non-Jew, is Mishicha. So Gemara wants to know, that works well according to Rabbi Yochanan, and says that the din for a Jew to a Jew is Mamon, or Ma'ot, Kesef. So then you could say, Amitecha is Kesef, the Akum is Mishicha. But according to Reish Lakish, it says that even Amitecha, between two Jews, it is Mishicha. How are we going to explain that? Amitecha is Mishicha, and Ovid Kochavim is Mishicha, then what is Amitecha coming to exclude? Gemara says, no problem, Amitecha is coming to exclude the case of Ona'a. It's a different din totally. Excluding the din of Ona'a. Gemara says, we have another pasuk for Ona'a. It says, we need two psukim. We need one to exclude the Akum, and one to exclude Ekdesh. Now the Gemara says, wait, is it really true? You don't have to give back the Ona'a of an Ovid Kochavim? Says Agmar says, Anichal Mandamar Gzelo Asur. That makes sense according to one who says that Gezel Kaknani is Asur. Hainu Distrikral the Mishre Ona. That's why we need a specific pasuk to accept from that rule Ona. Normally you would have to return Gzela. Ona is the one thing you don't have to return. Ella Isa Mandamar Gzela Shel Kanani Mutar, stealing or that stolen objects from a Kanani are Mutar, Ona Mibai. Then why do you have to tell me about Ona? It's a general din. Now this is a very difficult statement of the Gemara. Rashi says it's a machloket in the Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara in Baba Kama deals with this issue of Gezel HaKnani. Rashi says it's a machloket there, whether it's Asur or Mutar. Tosot over here quotes, and it's clear from that Gemara over there, the machloket is not whether Gezel HaKnani is Mutar or not. Over there it's speaking about what's called Hafka'at Halvato. That's a escaping from repaying a loan. That's what the Gemara is talking about there. There is the machloket. But stealing, everybody agrees that stealing is problematic. And Tosfos quotes a pasuk from the same parashiyot that we're quoting over here, which says that when he purchases an Eved Ivri, when you buy back the Eved Ivri from the Kanani, you buy him back from the Akum, you have to pay him based on the Yovel. How many years left to the Yovel? You have to pay him out properly. Well, if Gezel HaKnani is not a sword, then why do you have to do a cheshbon and give him the proper cheshbon? It's obvious that you're not allowed to steal. So over here, Tosfos says, I don't think that we're talking about actual stealing. Over here, we're talking about Havgat Halvato. But then Tosfos says, wait a minute, there are places besides Baba Kama where this shows up. It's a Gemara in Baba Metzia. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which sounds like that Gezel HaKnani is Mutar Lagam, right? Nothing to do with Havgat Halvato. So Tosfos is in a bind because Tosfos doesn't think that's right. So Tosfos comes up with the solution. This is what he says all over Baba Kama as well. And he says it in Sanhedrin and Baba Metzia when the sugyas come up, and he says, "Vim tomar v'gezel haknani echi shari aktiv v'chishevim koneyu ubknani hu shetach yadcha mishtai di ein tach yadom mitzayit lefi shanim ayovel." Why would he care? Yesh lomar heichadik achilu Hashem vaday asur. Everybody agrees when there's chilu Hashem, there is nothing to talk about in terms of gezel haknani. Gezel haknani is asur the gamrei if there's any chashash chilu Hashem v'chisharit. And according to those ones that say that Gezel HaKnani might be mutar in certain instances, it's a case where you can slide your way out of it. You do it in a backward or backhanded way. Then you can do it. If he won't realize it, if he doesn't know, whatever the reason is. But if there's any chashash chilul Hashem, which is almost 100% of the cases, chashash chilul Hashem, then there is a din of Gezel HaKnani. The other Rishonim, many of the Rishonim in Baba Kama deal with this, that this deals with Akum. Deals with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which doesn't apply to the modern day Akum, because they're really not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's one of the answers that's given there. The other answer that's given is that in Baba Kama, the Gemara talks about the fact that they did not respect property rights. And therefore we treat them according to their own dinim. They don't respect property rights, so we're not going to respect their property rights. But when it comes to civilized society, Western society, where they have laws and property ownership is respected, then none of these dinim apply. So the Rishonim deal with different ways to narrow the scope of this idea of Gezel HaKnani. Here we see the first and one of the most important is that of Tosafot, which is Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is an overarching theme that if there's any chashash Chilul Hashem, you may not be involved with it. The other Rishonim narrow it down to Akum of the Avodah Zarah or Akum who do not respect property rights. And again, that would be very limiting in terms of where it is Mutar. Now the Gemara continues. Amrit, you have to say, Isavala, if you hold like Mandamar Gzelo Mutar, according to one who says that Gzelo mean Eved by Kanani is Mutar, Al Korchachach, he must hold, a Meimer then must hold like Rabbi Yochanan severely. He has to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. He can't hold like Reish Lakish. Because if you believe Gezel is Mutar, then I have nothing to do with the Pasuk of Amitecha. I can't use it to exclude the case of Mishicha, because he thinks Mishicha works both by a Jew, Jew to Jew, and Jew to non-Jew. So if that's the case, Amitecha is not coming to exclude that. Amitecha is coming to exclude Ona'ah. Well, Ona'ah, you don't need an exclusion because Gezel HaKnani is Mutar. So I have nothing to do with Amitecha. So it's clear, if you hold like Reish Lakish and a Meimar, that you also have to hold that Gezel HaKnani is Asur. Therefore, if you hold that Gezel HaKnani is Mutar, you must be holding, a Meimar must be holding like Rabbi Yochanan. Right, it's a Meitavei. I have a question. Okeach, Gutaot, Minovi Kochavim. Someone who buys, whether it's raw silver or just silver block from an Ovi Kochavim, Matzabehen Ovi Kochabada Kochavim. After he gets all the pieces of silver, broken pieces of silver, he finds in it that there's some idols in there. There's some little idols of Avodah Zarah in there. Im Achelonotan Ma'ot Mashach. If he didn't pay money yet, he did Mishicha Yachzir. You can back out of the transaction. Im Mishinatan Ma'ot. If you already gave the money, Mashach, you did Mishicha, Yolicha Nela Yam HaMelech. Then you gotta throw it in Yam HaMelech. You're stuck with the Avodah Zarah. Gotta throw it out. Mar says, Vi Amart Ma'ot Konot Mishicha Lamalei. If ma'ot work, like we are suggesting here, according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, that a mashicha for Jews, transactions, mamon, kesef, for a transaction with a non-Jew, then over here, how come the kesef doesn't work? Now, in the seifa, you say, I purchased it with kesef, but you still need mashicha. What's mashicha doing there? Where it says, that they agree that the transaction will be done with Dinei Israel. So where it says, then what do I need the money for? In Dinei Israel, b'shicha sufficient, you don't need the money either. So that's how you read the Sefer. Even though he gave money, if we're doing it with Dinei Israel, it all has to do, it's all determined by whether you did b'shicha or not. Says, then what are you going to do with the first half of that Mishnah? The latter half of the Mishnah, now you explain. It says, if you gave ma'ot, you still have to do Mashiach. But the Reisha said that, im ad shalom natan ma'ot mashach, before he gave the money, he did Mashiach, yakzir. You can go back on it. It sounds like Mashiach does nothing. If Mashiach does nothing, then you're definitely not dealing with Dinei Yisrael. The ratio, the reason you come back out of the transaction is because it's a false transaction. There were false premises to the transaction. You were buying silver pieces, and he gave you a barat kochavim in there. That's a breach in the trust of the, in the transaction, of the terms of the transaction, and therefore you come back out of it. So Rava responds to the buyer and says, ratio mishum deikam echotot, sefa lekam echotot. But there's only a mistake, there's only cheating or misguiding of the transaction in the first half. The second half is the same din. It's just a question of what Kenyan did. But in both cases, he cheated him. Rava now explains this Mishnah. Resha v'seifa mekachtot. There is a problem in the transaction. There is a cheating in the transaction going on here. He misrepresented what he was going to give him. Resha, deloya yivzuzay. In the resha, we need yet to give money. Lo mechzei kavodat chokhovim b'yad Yisrael. Doesn't look like it's Jewish avodah zarah that you're getting rid of, because you never give any money. It looks like it still remains in the hand of the obi chokhovim, and therefore you can return it. Seifa diyoyiv zuzei, when he gave money, mechzei kavodat chokhovim b'yad Yisrael. It looks like, even though you have yet to take possession of it, because he said he's going to do it b'dinei Yisrael, and you still need mishicha. Once the money changes hands over here, it looks like it's your avodah zarah. And then you're going to try to sell it back to the goy. Because when you give it back to him, he's going to give you the money back. When he does that, it looks like you just sold the avodah zarah to the non-Jew. And we don't want that. That's like maradayin. It looks like you're getting anah from avodah zarah. So that's what the restriction is in the latter half. Ve'abayir mar, Rabbi will suggest, reisha mekaktaot, delo yodo. The reisha is a mekaktaot because he didn't know there was avodah zarah in there. He didn't give him the money yet. The safe is a case where there is no misrepresentation. Once he gave the money, he should have checked out what was in the pile. And then done the mishicha. A person, after they give the money, then he takes a look. And before he does the mishicha, before he finalizes the transaction, he looks at what he's getting. The fact that this individual didn't take the time to check out what was in there, that means that it's his problem now. Beforehand, where he never gave the money and did mishicha, we don't expect him to look, because he didn't put the money up yet. Until the guy has to be out of pocket, and he has to have the money put across, we don't expect him to look at the merchandise. Once he puts the money out, we say, look at it. If you didn't look at it, then you lost on your own. That's your own problem. Right, so that's a machloket there, whether pieces of avodah zarah still have a status of avodah zarah, it's a din of Shmuel and avodah zarah. The Gemara deals with this. A number of different perspectives about how you do bittul. You have to assume that this is a case where it wasn't nitzbatel. Correct, exactly. Now, what's also interesting is, Tosfot mentions over here, he says, v'afa gav d'bishar mekachto lo amrinan hochi. Nowhere else do we say in a problematic transaction, if the two Jews transact and there was a misrepresentation, we don't say, well, if money changed hands, then you're locked in now because you should have looked. He says, "Shiny lokeh grutaot miyad ovichavim dibayla suke edat tve shemi yesh ben avodah zarah." It should have been in your mind that something like this could happen. That it's very likely that there's avodah zarah mixed in with the silver, and therefore you have to be aware of it. It should have been something that's within your purview, and you have to deal with it. The fact that you didn't deal with it, now it's your problem. Now, in a regular transaction, we don't expect people to cheat you. We expect them to do the wrong thing. Therefore, we don't say, "Oh, you didn't look, so now you're in trouble." The Tosfos says it's unique to this case where you should have thought about it and you should have watched out for it. But not that this is a general din. So far we have Rava's explanation, Abaya's explanation. Now we're up to Rav Ashi's explanation. Rashi Amar, Midresha Mishicha Eino Kone. Seif Anami Mishicha Eino Kone. If the Resha Mishicha doesn't work, then the Seif also Mishicha doesn't work. Va'adi Tani Resha Mashach, Tana Seif Anami Mashach. It throws in Mishicha in the second half of the Mishnah, just a parallel structure. The first case was no Mashicha. So the second case is, yeah, there was Mashicha. But Mashicha is Eino Malev, Eino Morida. There's no relevance over here. The only thing that's relevant over here is the money. It's a transaction of money. Does money kone? Money not kone. But based on Rav Ashi, what you see is, he thinks that a transaction of a non, with a non-Jew is done through money. That implies that, what does he think a Jewish transaction is? Between two Israelim, what would the transaction entail? Mashicha. Who's that like? It's like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yochanan. He tells it over here at the bottom, deals with it. He says, the fish magio Rabbeinu Tam lisoka Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbeinu Tam, throughout Shas, paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, that ma'ot, konot, divrei Torah, misrael Yisrael. Why? Because Rava paskins like him. Rava, who's a batra, paskins like Rabbi Yochanan all over Shas, chutz mitlat. Except for three places where he passes like Rish Lakish. And these aren't one of the three places. So Tosfot asks, what do you mean? Here you have Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is even more batra than Rava. He's even a later Amora than Rava. And he says, Allah is like Rish Lakish. So Tosfot over here goes through a lot of somersaults and basically in the end says that Rav Ashi was chozer, midato here. That even over here he says that he's holding like Rish Lakish. In another place, he is chozer and says that the Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan and not like Rish Lakish. And based on that, the Hilchot is like Rabbi Yochanan that Ma'ot Konot, Dvar Torah, for Yisrael to Yisrael. And now, the last possible solution is Ravina Amar, Mid the Seifa Mishicha Kone, Reisha Nam Mishicha Kone, is the exact opposite of Rav Ashi. If the Seifa says Mishicha works, then the Reisha also Mishicha works.
But even though he is the exact opposite of Rav Ashi, they may not disagree here. As Rashi points out, Rav Ashi's Shita is they didn't agree to transact based on Dinei Yisrael. Whereas according to Ravina, they did agree to contract and transact on Dinei Yisrael. So therefore, when Rav Ashi says Mashicha doesn't work or does work, he's saying that in Dinei Akum, an Yisrael's transaction with an Akum, which only works by Kesef. Over here, Ravina is speaking in an Yisrael to Yisrael, because this Goy agreed to work under that framework, and that means Mashicha works. But that means, again, on the other side, for a Jew to an Akum in a regular case would work with a Kesef. So Rav Ashi and Ravina are saying the same thing in the end, which is that it works in terms of Mishicha for a Jew to a Jew, and it works in terms of Ma'ot from a Jew to a non-Jew. The only question here is whether they did it with Dinei Yisrael or not. According to Rav Ashi, they did not use Dinei Yisrael, and therefore the only thing to discuss over here is Ma'ot. Mishicha is irrelevant, it doesn't matter. Whereas on the other hand, Ravina believes they did do it with Dinei Yisrael, and therefore the Mishicha is efficacious in terms of a Kinyan, because they're doing it Tachat Dinei Yisrael. But you'll have the same conclusion again, which is that Ravina seems to be holding like Reish Lakish. So you have Rav Ashi and Ravina holding like Reish Lakish, and this goes back to the Tosfot we mentioned before, where Tosfot says that Rav Ashi and Ravina seem to change their mind, or seem to retract their statement in other places, and hold like Rabbi Yochanan, because there they agreed to a position of a Meimar that holds like Rabbi Yochanan.
Reisha Achi Kamar, so then why didn't it work in the Reisha? Im lo natan velo mashach yakzor. If he didn't give it, and he didn't do Mashicha, then he can be Chozer. Ma yakzor? Yakzor b'dvarim. He's allowed to get out of the commitment to buy here. All there was he gave his word to do it. He gave his word he's going to do it. He didn't do Mashicha, he didn't do Ma'ot. He's permitted to back out of the transaction. Why would you think he's not permitted to back out of the transaction? That's because of something called Amana. That you have to, when you give your word, you have to stand by your word. Kesavar, Darvim yesh behem mishum mechusurei Amana. If you give your word and you back out of it, you are breaching the trust that was placed in you. And there's a problem with that, min haTorah. V'hani milei Yisrael miYisrael. That's only a transaction between two Jews. The kaimu b'dibirayu. Because they keep their word. When they give their word, they keep it. But they who do not keep their word, then they also, when you give your word, you don't have to stand by your word, because they don't do it as well. Again, that would narrow down the application of this. This is what we've seen before. That means that if only when they don't act on their word, when they don't keep to their word, but if they do stand by their word, and there would be a breach of trust for them to back out, then it would also be a breach of trust for you to back out, that there will be this holding you to that same standard of amana. The one other thing to note in Tosfot is, don't we have a din? We have it all over Baba Metzia, the din of Mishapara. That if a person backs out of a transaction, even though they didn't do the kinyan that would make it final, whether it's Ma'ot or Mishicha, whichever one you think is final, they did the other one. When you back out of it, there's a Mishapara. Mishapara is that Hashem should curse you like he cursed or took care of those people, Migdal Bavel and Stone. I mean, it's improper to back out of a transaction. The Gemara says it's Yesh Lomar to Kibel Av Ladon B'dinei Yisrael. But he agreed, this is a transaction we agreed to be done in Dinei Yisrael. Mishapara in Zedin. That's not a din. That's Lifnei Mishurat Adin. If he agreed to be guided by the law of the Jews, I'm going to go by the law of the Jews or the way the Israel do transactions, the din of a Jew doing a transaction is that, depending on who you hold, like it's either Mashicha works or Ma'ot works, but the din of Misha Para is an extra din. It's outside of the law. It's outside the court of law. It's a court of equity. It's something that is Lifnei Mishurat HaDin. It's something that you should do, but it's not something that's Mina Din. And therefore, it wouldn't apply here. Inami, Shemefresh Rabbeinu Tam, Delinyan Yukrov Zula. That only when there's a value changed, an object went up in price, went down in price, you have to still stand by the transaction, then there's a din misha parah. Avalo b'makom shemafsid gamrei. If you're going to lose entirely, there we don't say misha parah. Misha parah, that you stand by your transaction, is only when there's a loss, a small loss or a small gain to either party. Then you have to stand by, you gave your word, that's a transaction, there's a din misha parah if you don't hold by it. But in a case where you're going to lose everything if you stand and keep the transaction, Rabbeinu Tam says there's no Misha Parah in that case. Misha Parah doesn't tell you lose all your money in the transaction. That we don't say. So if you transact it in such a way that it'll cause you to lose everything, like here, when you deal with Avodah Zarah, which is worthless to you, you're going to have zero out of it. Over there, we don't have a din of Misha Parah. Even though there's no din of Misha Parah, there might still be a din of Amanah, of standing by your word, a breach of trust, but there's no din of Misha Parah. That's why the Gemara doesn't bring Misha Parah in this situation. Okay, we'll stop over here.